Blog Talk Radio.
This is Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith. Today we're going through our current event series, part two, Turn Culture Clash. In this episode, we're going to get down south and dirty and discuss the culture clashes behind big news stories of the week. You know, ISIL versus the West, Muslim sectarian violence, the Ukraine and Russia, African Americans and parenting, domestic violence, gender roles, voter access, and Southern history. Guns and American tradition, all these hot-button topics and many others are deeply entrenched in our cultural norms. We will also discuss why we don't respect each other's culture in America and how that is the biggest problem we face. So first, let's tackle, since I always like to start off, talking about international and national current events. I would like one of you to sit there and talk about, you know, ISIL and the fight against with the West. And why are we still, every generation, there's a major conflict that takes place in this region of the world, and it continues over and over and over again. And a lot of Americans, we are not as in tune with what is going on with our history to understand that, yes, these conflicts are taking place generationally. If you only go back to the First World War, that was a major fight that took place in that region. The Western powers is fighting against the Axis powers. That was Turkey, the Ottoman Empire. Everything that stretched from Turkey all the way down to Saudi Arabia was a part of the Ottoman Empire, and the British and the French were there fighting, attempting to stoke and arm Muslims against the established regime. You had the Wahhabist movement that was attempting to spread their form of Islam throughout the Middle East and overthrow the Ottoman Empire. And again, Western nations took part in handing these people weapons. And the problem with that is that you have an over-domineering theory from the Western part of the world, thinking that Christianity is somewhat superior to Islam. And I'm a Christian, and I do believe that, you know, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that there's only one way to God, but through Christ. But everyone doesn't believe that, and nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to go forcing people down that path. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are to rule over anyone. It doesn't give us that preview. And a lot of people seem to take that upon themselves, as every religion has over time, even if you go back to the Crusades, which really kind of kicked this thing off in the Middle East. You have this culture clash with people thinking that my way of thinking is superior to your way of thinking, and therefore I will use force to make that happen, which that goes back, and that also goes in reverse, with Islam thinking that it is superior to Christianity, and people decide, you know, and interpreting the Quran in ways and thinking that they are supposed to fight jihad against us in Western civilization. So you have this ongoing, I don't respect you, you don't respect me, let's fight. And as long as that continues, we're always going to have war. It doesn't matter who we arm or who we don't arm, we're still going to have these fights taking place. And we don't get down to the ulterior motives that even if we arm somebody, again, these are people fighting their own people, and when they get power, they can want us to get out of their business. So we really have to sit there and think about why, even inside of the battles that are taking place inside the Middle East, you have Shia and Sunni. And it's all about who's the caliph. You know, is it Muhammad's descendants or is anybody who is deemed to be a prophet of God. So you have all of these different aspects taking place, and we don't sit down and understand it. It comes down to culture, the common respect. Now, I am a major fan of sci-fi, Star Trek in particular. And one of the things that has always interested me is how you see a respect of cultures. And Gene Roddenberry was very good at putting these things in front of us through storytelling. A lot of you who are into the old original Star Trek may remember the episodes in which you had the people who had the black face, the black and white faces, and the only difference was them which side was white and which side was black, and that was a part of dealing with racism. And in some of the newer episodes, if you go into Next Generation, you can see where there was a alien species which had three genders, and we had, and the human beings had a problem with dealing with the parental rights of the species, because there was a third gender, and we were interfering in that because, you know, but they finally had to understand that's their culture. That's the way their species operate. And all these things that took place that Gene Roddenberry had put in our place, but then Americans, you know, all Americans, you know, they think science fiction fans are geeks. But that's why we're such deep thinkers, because we get the same thing with Star Wars. It's about culture clash. And all those things, if you go back and look at it, they are very applicable to what we're doing today in this world, and particularly from an American point of view, because I believe as much as America is about diversity and ye pluribus unum for many as one, we're probably some of the most intolerant people on the planet, because we think everybody wants to be an American, American exceptionalism. We have to be careful about that and have a mutual respect for everybody on the planet. The same thing goes between, you know, the Ukraine and Russia. It's a cultural thing. You have Ukrainians who want to speak their language and Russians who want to speak their language, and the different cultures, this, that, and other. One believes they're superior over the other based on military might and history, and we've always ruled over you. You have to look at all this, a centuries-long conflict. This did not just appear in 2014. During the Russian Revolution and the fall of the Russian Civil War, the Ukrainians tried to break Camp Dean. When Hitler invaded Russia, the Ukrainians joined with the Nazis, because they was like, you want to get rid of the Russians? Shoot, we're fine with that. Let's fight. We're on your side with that. We have to look at the deeper cultural aspects of the conflicts that are taking place, and we just don't jump into them based on what's the political win today. Because when you jump in, it's like jumping into a family fight. You see two brothers and sisters fighting together, and you jump in there, and next thing you know, they both jumping on you. That's crazy. You know, we really have to sit there and go and understand that these are not things that we can take lightly. Is cultural differences, diversity. We all talk about it. There's training courses in all the different countries. We talk about diversity. You know, in the American political spectrum, we are talking, the Democratic Party loves to talk about being the party of diversity, and we're fighting, we rail against the Republicans of not being diverse. And people say that we split because we talk about the differences. And I would take and subscribe to the idea that talking about differences instead of ignoring them is a way to bridge the gap of conflict. I have many of my white friends who are really upset at me because I continue to turn myself as a black American or an African American. Why can't I just be an American? I am an American. But I talk about the differences because guess what? If I don't, then you automatically assume that I'm going to take on your culture. But I need you to respect my culture. I need you to respect who I am. And that's why we hyphenate America. You see people that were very proud of being Italian American and Irish American and German American and Mexican American and Native American. You have all these different people who are proud of this, of that, because it says that we are part of a culture that is linked with that which is America. But we are told constantly, oh, that's bad. We get quiet when people want to talk about it. some of the biggest mistakes we make is because we don't reach our hands across and touch people who are different than us. We don't go out and seek those who think differently from us. We don't go trying to find them. We're not looking to build relationships with them because it's comfortable to be around those who are like us. And so we continue to feed this beast of separation, segregation, racism, political partisanship, all these things because we refuse to respect each other's culture. And you know, and that's you know, it may be human nature. Maybe it's something that we have not evolved yet to do. But oh my God, I just said the word evolve. I may have people jump down my back because they don't believe that there's such thing as evolution. That people do not adapt over time and change. You know, oh my God, somebody might crawl down my back because I said the word evolve. But even if we look into the news, when things happen, you know, the first thing we do is start belittling somebody's cultural value. We have a race taking place here in Georgia, a state senate race. And one of the candidates is a supporter of a bill called the Religious Freedom Act. Really? It sounds good on paper. Ooh, we're protecting religious freedom. But what it really is a Christian zoning club. It's a pro-Christian zoning club. It speaks very lightly to protecting all faiths, but is very heavy on promoting ideas that are based in the Christian faith. And really, it doesn't even cover the whole Christian faith. It covers a very narrow-minded view of the Christian faith that really doesn't even touch on the tenets of Christ teaching us to love one another, respecting one another, and that Christ and even the Father promotes choice. God doesn't just come down and force us to follow him. He gives us a choice. You can be an atheist. Okay, so you're an atheist. Boom, do that. Do you. You're Muslim. Okay, do you. Now, this is what God tells us. I would prefer that you come this way, but if that's the case, okay, do you. Doesn't mean that you're going to get the fruits and benefits there, but it's a choice to be made. And we shouldn't be trying to legislate people's choices because God honors choices. The Bible talks about how, if you read the Bible, it talks about how friendships, God honors friendships more so than he did blood bonds. He honors marriage, which is the biggest choice. And that's one of the biggest fights in America today is marriage equality. Well, God gave us the freedom and the will to choose who we love. He gave us a choice whether or not we choose to love them. There should be no legislation that says that I have to love God in a certain way or I have to love him at all because he gave me that choice. There's no bill that can ever be passed that will change that. No man should think he is so paramount to other human beings that he can enforce that rule upon anybody. But that comes again to us not recognizing that culture is to be respected, not degraded. You have, let's go back 2 weeks ago, Adrian Peterson spanks his son, leaves Wilkes, major schism takes place on how we parent. You have people who came back and said that Adrian Peterson's mother was wrong for spanking her child. And she took defense of her son for saying, he's not guilty because that's how I raised him, that's what I taught him. And we looked down and said, okay, they're wrong, that's the wrong way. But what you failed to realize, that was their culture. We had a state representative here in Georgia who stated that when she becomes a mother, she would spank her children because she was spanked. Oh, in a major newspaper here in Georgia, inside the city of Atlanta, one decided to jump on that in a political blog. culture, respect it. So you don't spank your kids, fine. You speak to them. Maybe your child doesn't need it, but for me, I've always thought, and I'll be honest, well, you know, some people, they have to have some convincing not to do certain things. Some people you can talk to and say, hey, don't do that. Some people you can't. That's why we have courts of law and punishment and prisons and this, that, and the other. That's why we have a death penalty in this country to hopefully deter you from doing it. So if I pop my child's hand when they're very small to tell them not to do that, then they continue to do that. The popping on the hand, I told you no, don't do it. I popped you in your hand and told you no, don't do it. If it's the difference between my child having a whelp on their leg and them sticking a fork in the socket, I would prefer them to have the whelp in their hand. Because you stick the fork in the socket, you may be dead. I mean, when I pop you and whoop your behind, I want you to understand that that is bad enough for me to cause you pain. For you to understand that that is something that is not acceptable. But that's my culture. And I don't feel bad about people who don't spank their kids, because I don't spank mine a lot. It has to be really something that is really off the chain, out of the ordinary, something that I really need to put a stop to for that to happen. But I don't downgrade anybody else for not spanking their children. You do what's best for your children. Now, people who abuse their children, there's some people that just knock the hell out of their kids for any reason. They upset, they're mad, they're trying to say, hey, pop, I knocked you to the floor. That's wrong. Something needs to happen. But you have to understand the culture. That was a commentator on the news who, one, misquoted the Bible and said there's nowhere in the Bible where it says spare the rod, spare the child. But it says it in Proverbs. And you know, again, you may not be well versed, so this professor from a very highly accredited and highly esteemed university says otherwise. We have a tendency to believe that because of our culture. We do not take time to get to know that and understand that reality is relative. Culture is what it is. It's a culture. And based on my culture, my reality is relative to your relative. It is different. Common sense is not common because my commonality is different than your commonality. What happens every day in your life is different from what happens every day in my life. So therefore, I cannot judge. That's why judging is supposed to be left. If you're a religious person, it's left for judgment day, and you let God handle that. Because we go in and but what it makes us do is make us feel superior to other people when we can downgrade how they feel and what they think. Now, true enough, there are going to be conflicts. And those conflicts are based on pure fact that people are doing something to somebody. But that comes, people do things to other people because they lack respect for them. Hear me again, people do things to other people to hurt them because they lack respect for them. If it's done on purpose, then sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. And misunderstandings, again, come from a lack of understanding of that person's culture, their experiences, who that person is. I'm married. And I know that I've hurt my wife's feelings. Basically, from sometimes not understanding that we grew up in two different environments. We come from two different cultures. We say water hose, and they say hose pipe. I mean, it's different. There are certain things that they do here in Troup County where she grew up that are different from the things that were done in DeKalb County where I grew up. And I have to make a conscious effort in my head to understand that there's a difference and not try to feel superior. And that is taking growth in me. And I'm asking you to have that same take the time to have that same kind of growth in you. Because for us to be able to go forward as a nation, we have to be able to respect each other. And when you don't respect, that comes, and that's why domestic violence exists because people don't respect one another. And there's a difference in culture between men and women. Men can't walk down the street and hold each other's hands after a certain age. Women can. Men are not expected to cry. Women are expected to cry. Men are expected to go be warriors. Women are expected to be homemakers in some people's view. It's their culture. A lot has been made over that the fact that one of the Arab Air Forces, and I think it's either Qatar or Bahrain, has a female fighter pilot. And that's a big rarity in the Islamic world for a woman to be a warrior, much less a warrior leader. And there's so much made about it that they keep calling her female fighter pilot. Female fighter pilot, And I remember we do that in America here too. If one of our pilots was to get shot down and happens to be a person who is a warrior who is female, we will keep attaching to the fact that she's female. There's a female fighter pilot or a female soldier. Why just, you know, but again, it's about the culture. And cultures do change over time. Sometimes, but rarely have they all ever changed by force. Cultures have changed through knowledge being gained, wisdom being attained, and people becoming better at being human beings. So culture does change. But it does not change because it takes longer to change when you fight people about what their culture is, what they stand for, and not willing to understand that roles may change based on situations. It used to be a point in time that men did not cook. Now men cook a lot more and enjoy it. My father's generation would probably think that's being kind of, they would say funny. But even now, it's not as good. It's not funny to say that is funny. It's not good to talk about people using gay as a slur. Our culture is changing. Some people are resisting it, and they resist it because it may cause their culture to change. And you see that when you start talking about stuff like voter access. And I'm going to come back to that right after this break. This is Down South of Dirty with Scott Smith. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, and I'm here again today talking about culture clash and all the different things that we fight over and how they're attached to what we do from a political perspective. And just before I went on the break, I talked about voter access and how that has somewhat to do with our culture clashes here. Conservatives, who by nature are very bound to tradition, they're very slow to want to see change, whereas progressives and liberals, just by the nature of the word progressive, you want to see progress. Just by the natural tendency of the word liberal, you want to see things liberated. So you have two cultures that are very different. You have one that is very much, I want to be about tradition and this, that, and the other. And in a representative republic that uses the democratic principles of election from the people, the best way to control change is to control those who vote. This is one of the things that's a very hot button issue to me, and voter suppression pisses me off because people who claim to love America but want to limit people's right to vote don't love America. People who look to take away voting opportunities are not good Americans. When you look to limit the rights of others, that's not being a good American. Here in Georgia, our Secretary of State is sitting on 51,000 ballots over because of 25 that were improperly, not ballots, but voter registration forms. Based on 25 voter registration forms that seemed to have a problem that he was informed about before he made an issue out of it. The problem is that here in Georgia, if those people who are being registered right now who have the tendency to probably be minorities, and I'm not always talking about ethnic minorities, but socioeconomic minorities or women, and I don't understand why we still call women a minority. I'm not getting it because in most places women outnumber the male population. I don't see women as being minorities. But, again, our culture continues to push that idea on us that women are a minority. But, and they may be a minority because of power. I don't see that because I still think that most of my female sisters out there are in some ways more capable than we are handling business, making sure things happen. However, when we get talking about people's rights to vote, in America, I think we should have same-day registration. Something may happen that I think there needs to be same-day registration. I think there needs to be a very, 45 days of early voting is fine with me if it came down to it. 21 days, maybe a month, starting October, ending November, giving many people opportunity to vote as possible, many avenues of voting, not just being able to vote from you're at the polling place, but being able to vote from mail or eventually possibly online voting. Because if we can pick American Idol, then I think we should be able to print the President of the United States. We vote everything else from the TV, text, and online these days that we want. Why can't it be the President of the United States or the Governor of Georgia or the Mayor of LaGrange or the City Councilman from District 1 and 2, why can't we give everybody that access? Because right now, I know in my particular county, we had a voter turnout somewhere between 14 to 20%. That basically makes us an oligarchy because a very small, minute portion of the eligible registered voters, and that's what turnout is. That means there are people who are registered to vote, and we are counting the ones who have voted to get the turnout number. So 14 to 20% of the people who are eligible. So then you go in and find out what that number was, and you start going, so who are the 80%? Then they'll tell you how many people you have. And you look at those type of numbers, you start going, whoa, there's a lot of people out there not tending to their duty. And we need to make it easier for those people who have registered to vote. Find out why are you not voting. Change that. Because I watched just the week before as Scotland voted for independence. They expanded that vote because this was an important issue. They expanded that vote to that 16-year-old. and they had 80% turnout. And some of the people who were in the no faction, who were mostly a lot of people who were with the conservative movement, who were on the more conservative spectrum of the British political system, scared that if we gave 16-year-olds the right to vote, then Scotland may become independent. Well, Scotland is still part of the United Kingdom today. And 16-year-olds voted. 80% of the people turned out to vote. There was probably a lot of 16-year-olds that voted no. I want to remain a part of Great Britain. We make a lot of assumptions based on culture. Republicans here in America don't want voter expansion, don't want more voting, because they feel like the more people that would, most of the people would vote will be Democrats or will vote for them. Well, that sounds like we have a problem here in you understanding what the American people want. How about you find out what the American people want and base your platform on that? But then, oh, they might sound like Democrats. So to maintain power, they want to play with the system, because they want to maintain their, what they feel is a superior culture versed on diversity and living and letting bygones be bygones and living your best life and letting someone else live their best life. Same things with guns here in America. Guns are very much a part of American tradition, very much a part of our culture. We were a country that was founded through a revolution. The very first battle that was fought in this country was fought because the British were coming to confiscate guns. So history tells us one thing, that our American government understands what happens when people go try to take guns from people. So I don't think that the American government is looking to come take your guns. The American government was founded based on an action that was an attempt to take away the guns of the American people. And how did that fare out? That ruling power was gone. So I don't think that the American government would ever want to do that. But I think everybody has an understanding that guns are a very important part of our culture. They're saving, like, and we're not the only country that's like that. The Afghan culture, which has probably been in touch with firearms a lot longer than most Western cultures, seeing as their proximity to China and the invention of gunpowder. If you've ever watched National Geographic or talked to soldiers who come back from Afghanistan who've seen the very ornate firearms that are the antique firearms that are carried by Afghans, it's like a sword tool. You know, and there's some cultures in which blades are very important. Nepal, the Gurkhas, the Kukri blade is very important to them. The Japanese and the samurai sword. A lot of cultures have a weapon that, or weapon systems that are very integrated in their culture. The Zulu and the shield and the short stabbing spear, innate to their culture. Whatever, because war, being a warrior, is a bit. If you look at the scimitar that is on the Saudi Arabian flag, or the Marine Corps version of the Mameluke sword, which basically was an Islamic scimitar. Given, you know, think about these things, people. But American culture and guns is very intertwined. And I think a lot of Americans, we look at it as a consensus, understand that guns will be a part of our culture until our culture evolves past the usage of guns, which that may be 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 300 years from now. But until that time, there's only a small group of portion that wants to take them away, and they feel like people who like guns are crazy, and people who think people don't want guns think they're crazy. I mean, but we have to respect each other's thoughts. Now, there has to be a common ground in which we understand that guns need not to be in the hands of people who are incapable of using them responsibly. Every culture has those type of rules. Everybody in Japan is not allowed to carry a samurai sword. Afghans, there's certain men in Afghan society who don't carry guns. All Zulu are not allowed to have a short stabbing spear and a shield. Only the warriors. Our Second Amendment guarantees the right that guarantees us the ability to be able to raise a militia from the citizenry without them having to go buy a gun. So you got to have the right to have a gun. Just to be able to continue to have that right to be able to do that. We also are a nation of hunters and sports shooters. In which there is a shooting sport is a legitimate sport. It takes skill to be able to put a round on a target. Just like it takes skill to fence or to use karate or any other martial art. Because that's what shooting sports is, a martial art. And martial means, going back to meaning military nature. So we have to, in America, understand that all of our issues that we have taking place is based on the fact that we don't respect each other sometimes. We want it our way. And we dog people down. And yeah, we have rules, and rules have to be followed. But sometimes we exaggerate or exacerbate the issue based on cultural prejudice. Melanie Hodson has a TED Talk, which I've posted a couple of times on Facebook, and I may post again here in the near future, called Color Brave. I recommend that everyone goes out on social media. If you're not a fan of TED Talks, go to TED. Start watching. There's all kinds of innovative talks taking place about all kinds of issues, including guns, color, diversity, voting, all kinds of different issues that are being talked about intelligently as people learn to respect each other's culture. But Melanie Hobson made a very good point, that ignoring the problem is not going to make it go away. And there's a lot of people who would rather ignore our cultural differences than to take hold to them. I need you to think, people. Over the next week, sit there and think about the things that really tick you off. And why do they tick you off? Is it based on something that you believe? Now, are you losing sleep at night, particularly? And I know people who are losing sleep at night over the fact that they're worried that their culture and their way of life is being threatened. Reach out to somebody that you would normally, that's not in your normal sphere of friends. Talk to somebody who's different than you today, to this week. Make that intentional movement to talk to somebody who's different than you. I love to talk to people who don't share my views. I may not agree with you afterwards, but at least I got a chance to learn why you think what you're thinking. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you celebrate certain holidays? Why do you wear your hair a certain way? Why do you like the type of car you like? Why do you live in a certain neighborhood that you live in? Why do you play the sports that you play? All that is based on culture. And when we start understanding one another, politics doesn't become so ugly. There will always be disagreements. But disagreeing has become like something really crazy in America. And we need to really work on that. And I'm going to continue to support the issues that I support, but I'm always going to want to hear and listen to the other side. Not saying that you don't stand on your principles, but learn to understand why the other side thinks what they're thinking. It may be pure evil, because evil does exist. It may be pure evil what they got up there. It may be diabolical, or it just may be a misunderstanding. But anybody wants to take away anybody's life, yeah, that's evil. People who lie, cheat, and steal, that's evil. And there's no cultural differences that will change that. No cultural awareness that will change what the crux of evil is. But even those people who perpetrate acts of evil do it for a reason. And sometimes understanding the reason, understanding the motivation is the key to victory over evil. To understand what is the goal. So with saying that, there's an election November 4th. And regardless of your political persuasion, look at why stand for what they're standing for. Start running down the rabbit trail of what happens when certain policies get enacted. If you're stripping away the rights of people or reducing or limiting the rights of people, something is wrong with that. There's never anything wrong with expanding the rights of people. Because usually, as we all know, people who think alike have a tendency to congregate together. If you want to get married in their same sex, that's going to affect their household, not yours. If a woman has an abortion, that affects her life, not yours. We should worry about those things that affect each other's life, such as the poverty, because when poor people can't eat, they're going to find a way to eat. They're going to do what they got to do to survive. We have to defend our nation because there are people who are going to attempt to do things that frankly, are evil. But at the same time, let's look at ways of doing that is intelligent and does not fall into us using cultural and racial and socioeconomic stereotypes based on how we're going to come across as victor. Let's look at the facts. If you're not registered to vote here in the state of Georgia today, you have to October 6th. You can do it online. You can go to the Secretary of State's website. You can find it. Then I want you to go vote. Early voting in Georgia starts on October 13th. I am a Democrat. I will be voting from the top to the bottom for Democratic candidates, not just because they're Democrats, but because I believe that slate of candidates they're just better. If you're a Republican and you aren't happy with what you have or that thing that's happened in the Republican Party, give Democrats a try. If you're a Democrat and you really think, and in the back of your mind, you thinking conservative all the time, yeah, you might need to readjust yourself and go talk to my boy Doug Creed. Maybe you can find out where you sit. Same thing for my Republicans that are not necessarily. You need to find your place. But me as a Democrat, I'm endorsing Democratic candidate Jason Carter for governor, Michelle Nunn for United States Senate, Elizabeth Johnson for insurance commissioner, Valerie Wilson for state school superintendent, Robin Shipp, for labor commissioner, Doreen Carter, state school superintendent. Daniel Blackman, public service commissioner. Greg Hick, attorney general. Chris Irving, agriculture commissioner. These people statewide need your vote. There are certain races around the state that I've been watching. If you live in Gwinnett County, and you're listening to this, and you live in District 105, State House, you need to vote Renita Hamilton. If you live in South Georgia, District 173, you need to vote for the Democrat on that ticket. District 138, the Democrat on that ticket. Here in my area, District 133, Bob Trammell. District 132, Bob Trammell. District 29, State Senate, Brian Rosalyn. District 28, State Senate, Cynthia Bennett. District 134, Debbie Buckner. If you live in the 2nd Congressional District, Sanford Bishop, John Barrow in the 12th, Ken Dias in the 10th, District 111 in Henry County, Jim Nichols. I need you to back these people. These are friends of mine. They are all great people. They need your vote. Scott Smith, and this is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. See you next week.